Open your Bibles tonight to 2 Samuel chapter 24. 2 Samuel chapter 24. We enjoyed that time observing the Lord's Supper, and I have a shorter message for you tonight, but I think an important one. We are coming to the end of our study of 1 and 2 Samuel, and I don't even want to try to remember how long it's been. We've taken our time going through it, but I'm telling you, there have been tremendous spiritual truths throughout this section of the Word of God. And as we come to this final chapter in 2 Samuel, there are a couple things that we want to address before we finish up looking at the book of Samuel. So far in chapter 24, we've seen David's decision to call for a military census in Israel and Judah. And it was not right, mostly because of his motive. He had a prideful motive, I believe, in calling for that. And so then we saw in chapter 24 how he was convicted of that sin. We saw David's conviction. We saw his confession. We saw the consequences that he was given and asked to choose. We saw the choice he made, the chastisement, and then David's compassion and concern for the people as they had to be partakers of that same chastisement. Well, obviously the chapter centers on David, but there's another character in this story, actually two more, but the second character mentioned in this chapter is the prophet named Gad. Okay, the prophet Gad. Let's look down in verse number 10. Let's read this section thinking about this man, this prophet, named Gad. Verse 10, David's heart smote him after he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done. And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. For when David was up in the morning, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, Go and say unto David, Thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. So Gad came to David, and told him, and said unto him, Shall 7 years of famine come unto thee in thy land? Or wilt thou flee 3 months before thine enemies, while they pursue thee? Or that there be 3 days pestilence in thy land? Now advise, and see what answer I shall return to him that sent me. And David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, and let me not fall into the hand of man. So the Lord sent a pestilence among Israel, from the morning even unto the time appointed, and there died of the people from Dan even to Beersheba 70,000 men. And when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented him of the evil, and said to the angel that destroyed the people, It is enough. Stay now thine hand. And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing place of Araunah the Jebusite. And David spake unto the Lord when he saw the angel that smote the people, and said, Lo, I have sinned, and I have done wickedly. But these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, be against me, and against my father's house. And Gad came that day to David, and said unto him, Go up, rear an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. And David, according to the saying of Gad, went up as the Lord commanded. Let's pray. Father, I ask that we would learn from this character you've included in the Bible, the prophet Gad, that we'd understand some of the things, some of the dynamics that are taking place in this story, and that we would learn some wonderful spiritual lessons from it. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe tonight that Gad shows to us ultimate loyalty to the truth. Ultimate loyalty to the truth. Think about this man for a minute. First of all, he showed us loyalty to God's plan. He's first mentioned back in 1 Samuel. If you want to turn, you can, but keep your finger here. We'll come back to 2 Samuel. But 1 Samuel chapter 22. And in that chapter, verse number 5, we see some of the mighty men coming unto David when he was fleeing from King Saul. He's in the cave of Adullam, and God sends him certain people. And one of the people there was the prophet Gad. Look in 1 Samuel 22, verse 5. And the prophet Gad said unto David, abide not in the hold, depart and get thee into the land of Judah. Then David departed and came into the forest of Hereth, which is in the land of Judah. So this is our first mention of the prophet Gad. If you looked up the name Gad in a concordance, you would see that there is a former person named Gad. He was one of Jacob's 12 sons, and one of the 12 tribes of Israel is named Gad. And I think this prophet Gad was probably named after Jacob's son, and perhaps he was even from that tribe. But anyway, the first mention of this man is in 1 Samuel 22, 5. And he is already a prophet. He speaks for the Lord. And when he speaks, David obeys the Lord. And he leaves the cave, that stronghold of the cave, and goes to what could be considered a less advantageous position, a dangerous area, there closer to King Saul in the land of Judah. But he obeys the Lord through the prophet. Well, what about Gad being there in 1 Samuel? What I see is that Gad was a man loyal to God's plan. He knew that, yes, Saul was king, but he also knew that David was anointed to be the next king of Israel. And so when there's Saul misbehaving, offering sacrifice when he wasn't allowed to, doing other things that caused God's favor to turn from King Saul, Gad said, you know what? I'm on the Lord's side, and the Lord's with David. I'm going to be loyal to God's plan. And is it risky? Yes. Is David being chased by the king, by King Saul? Yes. Could I lose my life? Yes. But I am loyal to God's plan, and God's plan is for David to be the next king. And so David, or Gad, was on David's side. Hey, when it comes to your life and God's plan for your life, whose side are you on? Whose side are you on? See, it's easy to say, well, you know, I want God's will for my life. All right, that's the first step. You're on God's side when it comes to saying, I want God's will for my life. But then there comes up all of those individual issues, right? And now God says, all right, you want my plan for your life? Here's what I've got for you in this particular area. And then we say, okay, Lord, I want your plan for my life. This is going to be hard. It's going to be difficult for me. It's out of my comfort zone, or it's a sin area that I've battled for my whole life. But Lord, I want your plan. I'm going to be on your side on this issue. And what we ought to decide is to be on God's side on every issue. And here Gad could have said, well, yeah, David, he's anointed to be king, and when he takes over, I'll follow him. No, he said, hey, even on this issue right now, hiding out in the cave of Adullam, okay, the hideout time is up. It's time for him to go to Judah. Okay, God, I'll deliver your message. I'll side with King David. So he was loyalty. He showed loyalty to God's plan, and we ought to as well. Let's go back now to 2 Samuel 24. And in verse 11, I want to say secondly that Gad showed loyalty to God's man. Not only to God's plan, but to God's man. Verse 11 says, when David was up in the morning, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet Gad, David's seer. And what that tells me is, from way back in 1 Samuel 22, before David was anointed, or after he was anointed, but before he became king, he's running from King Saul, Gad was with him, and then year after year after year, Gad stayed loyal to God's man. He stayed with David. They went through some problems. Boy, they went through the rebellion of Absalom. They went through years of famine. They went through so many problems, and yet Gad stayed loyal. Whenever God wants to do something special, He will raise up somebody that will surrender to Him and be used. And if we can get with that program and get with that plan and show some loyalty, I believe it'll help. I'm not, you know, begging for loyalty to me as a pastor. I want you to be loyal to Jesus Christ. But you know, a lot of times the Lord does lead a church through the leadership He provides at the church and through a pastor. And boy, if I ever tell you to do something against the Bible, then you say, off with his head, you know. And no, we're not going to do that, okay? But other things, I'm not going to be picky about the color of the carpet, you know, whatever you guys want in the new building, it's fine with me, you know, I'm not picky about that. But if the Lord lays something on my heart for the church, I hope you guys will stay with it. Stay with it and stay behind it. By the way, sometimes people have grown to different stages in their life and they say, well, I don't understand why Bethel Baptist does this, or I don't understand why they say this at Bethel Baptist Church. Well, you know what? It'd be wise to just go along with it until you do understand. And ask some questions. Say, Pastor, is that in the Bible? You know, why are we doing this? It would be wise to ask questions. That's how you learn. But you know, there's safety in going with what God has established, as long as that authority is not going against the Bible. So God shows some loyalty here to David through the years and through all the trials they went through. Hey, we've been through some trials as a church, and some people weren't willing to stick it out. You know, that's the fact. That's the way it is. But God wouldn't have been like that. God says, David, I'm sticking it out. I know what's going to be down the road. You're going to be king, and God's going to use you to establish the kingdom in your hand. Maybe he knew about the Davidic covenant, that David was going to have the descendants that would lead to the Messiah. And he said, you know what? Sure, David's not perfect. He's committed some sins, but we're going to stay with David. And God was loyal to God's man. Next, he was loyal to God's stand, Because in verse number 12 and 13, the Lord says to Gad, he says, go and say unto David, thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. And then I love verse 13, so Gad came to David. All right, think about these guys. Gad has been with him. Yes, David had many mighty men with him, but there was something special because the Bible calls Gad David's seer. A seer was another name for a prophet. He was a special prophet that God gave to David as a special gift for him. And so I imagine that David and Gad had a close relationship. And I'm sure that they cared about each other, loved each other in the Lord, and wanted, you know, good things to happen for each other. And so when the word of the Lord came to Gad that, hey, it's time to go pronounce some judgment upon your buddy David, it probably broke his heart. And he was probably tempted to say, you know what? I don't want to deliver that message. I mean, Lord, let somebody else deliver that message. I don't want to deliver this message. I don't want to say that David has to choose judgment. I mean, David, he's been through so much. Well, he's been through so many trials, and perhaps he even prayed for mercy. But the Lord said, no, Gad, you go and deliver that message. And Gad was loyal to God's stand. God took a stand against the wrong that David did, and Gad said, you know what? There's a loyalty that I have that's above my loyalty to King David. And that's the loyalty to the Lord God. Yes, Gad was loyal to David, but he was loyal to the truth above his loyalty to any man, even King David. And that's the way we ought to be. We ought to be loyal to truth, even above our loyalty to any man, any person. We say, Lord, you have first place. I side with you above all others. There might be some people who work their way into our church and worm their way into our hearts, and we start loving them. But if they start trying to take our church in a direction that's against the truth, we got to say, hey, I love you, brother, but I love God more, and I love the truth of God more, and we're going to stay with the truth of God's Word. Gad had a hard task here. Telling others what God says is sometimes a difficult thing. But did you know that sometimes that's the most loving thing that you can do? Somebody says, well, you know, I love that person too much. I don't want to go and tell them God's truth about some issue or some area. I don't want to do that because, you know, they're my friend. No, actually, the most loving thing you can do is to tell somebody what God says about something. Are you just going to let them continue on going down the wrong path? Just let them continue on going in error and falsehood? Or do you care enough, do you love them enough to go to them and say, hey, here's the problem. And so Gad shows loyalty to God's standard. Now, none of us like confrontation. That's normal. But you know, the Bible says sometimes it's essential. Galatians 6:1 says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, that means you overtake him, you catch him, you find out about it. If a man be found out, he would be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So when we find out about something in the life of somebody we love and care about, it's because God wants us to do something about it. Now we go in a spirit of meekness, and we go with the idea not to condemn them, but to restore them. And so Gad delivers this message to David so he can choose the chastisement and then be restored back into fellowship with the Lord. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know if I am qualified to confront somebody about something like that. Well, go to Romans chapter 15. Paul is addressing the Roman Christians here. And these Roman Christians were a new church, because back in those days, all the churches were new churches. And they were relatively new in the Lord. But look what is said about them in Romans 15 and verse 14. The Lord has Paul write, I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Now this word admonish means confront. The original word is where we get the word nouthetic. Ever hear of nouthetic counseling? It means biblical counseling. It means confronting with the Bible. Nouthetic counseling. Well, it comes from this verse. Admonishing one another means, you know, confronting, letting them know, hey, this needs to happen. This is what God expects. Now, why were these Roman Christians able to do that? It says because they were full of goodness and filled with all knowledge. You say, well, that leaves me out. I'm trying to be a good person, but I'm not full of goodness. And I'm definitely not filled with all knowledge. Well, wait a second. These guys in the church at Rome, they were filled with all goodness. It wasn't their own goodness. It was the goodness of the Lord. It was because they were in touch with the Lord. They were not perfect Christians, but I believe they were growing Christians. And they wanted to please God. And they were fellowshipping with the Lord, as we talked about this morning. And so I believe that for the most part in our congregation, we are full with all goodness. You are able to admonish one another. You say, well, what about filled with all knowledge? Listen, we don't have all knowledge ourselves, but if we base our knowledge on the Word of God, if we confront using the Word of God, then we're filled with all knowledge. So they were filled with all knowledge. So that's a wonderful thing, because they had the knowledge from the Word of God. They didn't have the entire Word of God yet, but they had God's knowledge. So we are able to confront, we're able to admonish. As long as our heart is right, we're growing Christians, we care about the person. We used to tell our kids, what's the difference between tattletaling and going to mom and dad about a problem? Is it always tattletaling when you go to mom and dad? We said the difference was this. Are you coming to mom and dad because you want to see them get in trouble? Or are you coming to mom and dad because you're really concerned for them and this is hurting their relationship with Jesus? You see, and if you're concerned for somebody, then it's right. It's right to get involved. And that's probably why the Lord lets you find out about it. So Gad had a loyalty to God's stand, and that loyalty far transcended any loyalty that he had to David or any other man. Our loyalty to God has got to take first place. You see, some churches end up having a respect of persons where they're loyal. Even a pastor could fall into this, where he's loyal to somebody because that person is maybe famous or well off or puts a lot of money in the offering plate or something like that. No, wait a second. Our loyalty needs to be to God above any person. Okay, then lastly, about this prophet Gad, back in verse 17 and 18. David spake unto the Lord when he saw the angel that smote the people. And David says, Lord, the people, it wasn't them. They're not the one that sinned. Now, that wasn't totally true. Because in verse 1 of this chapter, the Bible says that the Lord wants to judge Israel because they had been doing some wicked things. We're not told what it was, but they were doing some wicked things. So what David said isn't necessarily true, but that's the way a true servant of the Lord is. We don't focus on the wrongs of others. We focus on ourselves. And we see, you know, before I pull the beam out of somebody's eye, I got a mote in mind. You know, I got to take care of my, or a beam in mind before I take care of their mote. I've got to work on the things of my life as well. So David says, I have sinned wickedly, and these sheep, what have they done? Isn't it interesting? David willing to give his life for the sheep. Okay, and this he pictures our Lord Jesus Christ. But in verse 18, Gad came to him that day, and he says to him, go up, rear an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. So Gad goes to David and says, all right, David, you've repented of your sin. You've said that the judgment should be placed on you. You're willing to take that sacrifice and sacrifice yourself for these people. He says, here's what you do. Let's practice God's principle of substitution. Let's offer up sacrifice unto God, and he will be appeased. I hear say that Gad is loyal to God's substitution. You see, Gad could have gotten upset. He could have said, David, you know better than that. I've been your seer all these years. I've taught you to humble yourself. I've taught you not to be proud. And you don't even listen to me. You just go and you number the people. And then even wicked old Joab told you not to do it, and you went and did it anyway. And now 70,000 people died. David, some of them were my friends. And they died because of you, and you numbering the people, and he got mad. But that's not what Gad did. He said, you know what? If God forgives, I forgive. Gad was loyal to God's substitution. Jesus Christ is our substitute for our sin. And so we should not get upset at people who have sinned, maybe even sinned against us, maybe done some things that have influenced and impacted our life in a negative way. We've got to say, Lord, I'm going to be loyal to your substitution. You died to pay for that sin. You forgave that sin. So who am I to hold a grudge and not forgive? And Gad was loyal to David's substitution. We had a question last week where God stayed the plague. And we said that that was God's mercy at hand. But it says at the time appointed. And some people take that to mean, you know, after the 3 days. Because David chose 3 days of plague. And after 3 days at the time appointed, God stayed the plague. It could be that. As I studied some more on it this week, though, I found that most commentators understand this to mean at the time appointed for the evening sacrifice. And so we get the idea that perhaps God reduced that judgment from 3 days down to either 2 or even 1 day, and 70,000 fell in that judgment, and then God showed mercy. And he said, it is enough. See, if it was the end of 3 days, he wouldn't have to say to the angel, it's enough, stay thy hand. The end of 3 days, he's got to stay his hand. So it really seems like it was after just 1 or perhaps 2 days, and God's mercy is already abounding. Hey, where God forgives, Gad forgives. And where the Lord Jesus Christ forgives, we ought to forgive. Gad was loyal to God's principle of substitutionary atonement. Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ paid for your sin so you wouldn't have to? He was your substitute. But that means he was everybody else's substitute. And anybody else who receives him as Savior is forgiven and cleansed. And so we ought not hold any grudge. Gad could have gotten upset with David. David, why didn't you listen to me? All these years I've been your seer. But instead, he is loyal to God's substitution. So this guy Gad, oh, what a great character. I'm sure glad the Lord included this snapshot of him in the Bible. Gad was loyal to David, but far above that, he was loyal to God and loyal to God's truth. He said, God's truth That takes preeminence. May that always be so in our church. May we always be centered preeminently on God's truth. If God says it, that's the position we've got to take. And then may we also be centered on loyalty to Him above all else. And then let's work together. Let's loyal to what God's trying to do here and see if God won't do something amazing to His honor and to His glory. By the way, testimonies tonight show that God has already done some amazing things. Amen? Amen? But I long to see some more. Mercy drops around us are falling, but for the showers we plead. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank You for this servant of the Lord named Gad. Thank You for the loyalty that he displayed, yes, to David, but more importantly, to You and to Your truth. And he didn't take things personally, but he just served the Lord. He did hard things, confronting the king. He did hard things because he knew it was what You wanted him to do. So, Father, I pray that we would take his character to heart, that You would build into us that godly character to side with You and to side with truth in every issue of our life, to be burdened and concerned for those around us, even to the point of admonishing one another, as the Scripture says, because we love and we care about them. And then, Father, I pray that when temptations come to us as individuals, to our families, or even to our church as a whole, to compromise on truth, I pray that we would be loyal to Your truth above all else. And I ask this in Jesus' name.
We'd like to thank you for listening today. If the Lord has especially touched your heart, or you've made a decision for Christ, or perhaps you just have some questions you'd like to ask, please go to our website, www.bethelbc.info, and under the main menu, click on the word contact. Again, the website is www.bethelbc.info.